We start a new series today on the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are these short set of blessed are statements that are found as part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Short, but maybe not simple. I'm realizing as I got ready for both this week, but also this series, that I don't think I've ever preached a series on the Beatitudes before. And some of that may be just because of the complexity. I'm really enjoying diving deep into these words. Jesus preaches this sermon that in some ways seems so upside down compared to the way that we would normally think about life, that it either must be a secret code or it's from a time so long ago that it simply just can't apply to our lives today. But my hope and prayer for us during these next 8 weeks is we look at this wisdom from Jesus in these short phrases that we'll begin to see the wisdom that is there for us today. I'm really excited. Part of our itinerary a week from today, I will be on the Mount of Beatitudes, where they believe Jesus delivered this message. And I don't know for sure what being in that place will do or how that experience will change me, but I look forward to sharing some of what the Spirit will do as I'm in that place as we go on in this series. And today we start with the first of these short phrases. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So what in the world does it mean to be poor in spirit? And how could Jesus say that it is blessed to be so? Let's first look at this idea of blessed, because we'll see this as part of each week in the weeks to come. Jesus' words aren't just upside down for today, but they were for those that first heard them as well. He didn't invent this blessed are statement. That was a kind of a way that particularly writers would talk about those who were, get this, blessed from their viewpoint. But it wasn't the kind of people or situations that Jesus talked to that were talked about in these other writings. So these blessed are statements as found in other places referred to the Greek gods were blessed. Within those writings, there was belief that some people, through their action or sheer, I don't know if luck's the word that they would use, but there was belief that some people were able to go and join these Greek gods, and so they were the ones that were talked about as blessed. Something that we could probably relate more to today, the other group of folks that were talked about as those who were blessed were those who were financially successful, who didn't need to worry about the normal everyday struggles of trying to make sure that there was enough in the bank or enough food. And so if we think about that in today's terms, the blessed ours might be something like, blessed are those who win $500 million in the lottery. Blessed are those who bought stock in Apple Computer really early on. Blessed are those who have maids and live in mansions and don't have to worry about cleaning up after themselves. That seems more right. That seems to make more sense to our eye or to our ears and to our minds, right? That those that are blessed would be those who kind of have it easier than us people who struggle with the normal everyday things of life. But Jesus' words seem to be speaking to something that goes exactly opposite to what we might normally think. So Jesus teaches us that it is people who are spiritually poor, those who are mourning, the meek, the merciful, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are peacemakers. These are in the list of those that Jesus said are blessed. Some of these are a little bit more straightforward than where we start, at least as it appears to me. So I want to just spend a little bit of time to think about today and reflect on what does it mean to be poor in spirit? And how could it be that God would be looking to bless those who are spiritually poor? Isn't the whole deal in us being people of faith that we might experience spiritual wealth? I'm sure that that's, I know that's part of my own personal journey. I want to be rich in the things that God wants me to be rich in. And yet Jesus is seeming to point to the virtue and the value of being spiritually poor. Here he says that God bestows blessing, and that those who are poor in spirit find themselves as a part of God's kingdom. One of the things that's been really helpful for me is I've looked at a number of different translations for these Beatitudes, and I love in particular the way that the Message translates this part of Matthew chapter 5. The Message says this: "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule." You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Anyone ever feel like you were at the end of your rope before? Felt like your back was against the wall? You didn't have the answers that you felt like you really needed to face the situation that was before you? I saw at least one hand. I see a couple nods. How about, did you feel blessed in the midst of that? Probably not. Probably not. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? When we are brokenhearted, without an obvious way to move forward, it is usually because we found ourselves maybe hurt by somebody else, because of situations that have gotten out of our control, or we find that our actions or our behaviors that maybe have helped us cope with things less serious just don't seem to be working in the situation that we are finding ourselves in. And it seems to be far easier to go to dark places in these situations. But Jesus is telling us that there's a hope for us even during times like this. In these situations, there's an opportunity for us to turn to the light of God's presence. I think what Jesus is trying to help us understand is that when we are aware of our limits, it is in that place that we have the chance and the opportunity to invite more of God into our lives. When we find ourselves in situations that are too big for our spiritual resources we have on tap, we have a very real reminder in those type of situations of this truth. You are not God. Now, we may not be tempted to think that we are God, but God is the only one who has all the power and all of the resources to handle everything that is before Him. And so how often do we find ourselves frustrated or broken over the fact that we don't have enough at times? And that certainly can push us to a place of despair. But again, I think what Jesus is inviting us to here is this realization and this admission that I am not God. So we know that we will find ourselves at different times in our lives, repeatedly throughout our journey, at the end of our ropes, backed into corners, poor in spirit. However it is we want to say that, we find ourselves in those places because we are not God. If we were God, again, we would have enough and have all that we needed all of the time. The blessing is not in the poverty that we find, because there are plenty of people who are poor in spirit and find themselves without enough. And we've already acknowledged we've been there ourselves and yet not believed we were blessed in those times. So the blessing is not in the poverty that we find, but the blessing is when we let the poverty draw us closer to the presence of God in our lives. To borrow some language from the recovery circles, being poor in spirit is when we admit that we are powerless to do it on our own. We might say, God, I'm powerless, I am poor and needy. Only you can help me make this right. And this is when the blessing begins in our lives. It's not that the hard stuff disappears immediately and we automatically find ourselves with enough when we turn to God. But it's in the way that trusting God, even when our eyes and our circumstances tell us that we should not. When we trust God anyways, that is when we begin to find this blessing of blessedness. We're not going to immediately feel better. I mean, we're talking about legitimately being at the end of our rope, short on resources. But God most often does his deepest, strongest work when we find ourselves walking through the stuff that pushes us beyond our limits, that we would more fully open our hearts to God and say, God, I need you to be in this because I can't do this on my own. The scripture that we heard this morning from Romans is the Apostle Paul writing and giving us a great example of what it is to be poor in spirit. Paul undoubtedly loves Jesus. He spent his life after he gave his heart to Christ, spreading the gospel around so much of the world that he lived in at that time. The Holy Spirit was alive and was using Paul in powerful ways, maybe as powerful or more powerful than any Christian who has ever walked. And yet, he knows that in all his love for Jesus, in all of his understanding and acceptance of grace and forgiveness, that sin is still at war in his soul. He says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. So one of the strongest Christians there has ever been is admitting that he is powerless to live the life in Christ that he knows he is supposed to. All right, so if even super Christians aren't perfect, what does that mean for us who know our limitations, even in our faith? Well, Paul sets for us the example for how we are to walk in the blessedness of being poor in the Spirit. Paul, first and foremost, acknowledges his weakness here, acknowledges that he doesn't have it all together, acknowledges that even in places where he knows the better thing to do, he struggles to be able to do it. This isn't just, well, I didn't know any better. This is Paul saying, there are times when I absolutely know better, and yet there's still something when I know I should be less selfish, that I still act on my own behalf, that when I know that I should forgive, I would rather hold on to hurt. I mean, he doesn't get into all the specifics, but we have some specifics in our own lives, don't we, where we know what God might be calling us to, what the best would be in our own life, what the best would be for our situation, and yet somehow we just know the best. We know that God might help us, and yet we just can't get over that hurdle to be able to do that. So Paul shows us the importance of acknowledging that we are powerless to do it on our own. But he doesn't stop there. He invited in Jesus. He opens his heart for the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to spend some more time this week, if you read the passages on either side of this, what we've heard in Romans, you really see Paul begin to open up the rest of that. But I want to look just briefly at his confession. Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And so it's not just the admission, it's not just the confession, but he then gives us the example as he continues to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we are at the end of our rope and know that Jesus is the answer, even when Jesus being the answer does not make sense, does not immediately fix our problem, does not immediately give us the answer that we are looking for, we begin to live in the blessing of God's presence that He has for us. Again, it's in these hard times that we most often experience God's deepest work in our lives, and deep work rarely happens in an instant. And so knowing the blessing of God when we are spiritually poor may not be something that we see the fruit of or be able to name or put our finger on. Sometimes for weeks, months, maybe even years before we can look back and say, God, I know that you were in that, and this is how you were working, and this is how you blessed me to bring me to a better place. But rarely, if ever, are we going to know that in the midst of being at the end of our ropes. You'll never be able to change the past. You have limited ability to control the actions of others in our todays. We will find, as Paul did, that there are habits that keep pulling us away from the health of what God wills for us in our lives. And yet Jesus doesn't tell us that we're blessed when we get it all together and have all the answers and have our walk perfectly straight. No, Jesus tells us that we can experience God's blessing when we are those who are poor in spirit. When we follow Paul's example in admitting that we are powerless, in trusting that even in that powerlessness, even in our poverty, even in the end of our rope, that we can trust that Jesus is up to something deeper than we could know. As we start this new year together, I want to provide us some space to reflect on maybe some areas of our need. Where is it that we find ourselves spiritually poor today, needing God's help, the end of our rope, not having the resources that we wish we did, and inviting Christ to be there with us? Bishop Webb has referred to our communion table as the Methodist altar call. And so if we were Baptists, we might provide the space by saying, you know, the altar's open, come up and pray for those things. And by the way, the altar is always open during communion if you felt that particular need to come and kneel. But I know from offering that many times that that's not kind of how we're wired as Methodists. So I want us to be clear and know that as we come, both prepare ourselves sitting in the pew, and as we come forward for communion, that it is an opportunity for us to encounter Christ in specific ways. And so I ask that today we would reflect on what are we powerless to handle. There will be situations that come your way this year, this month, maybe even today, that you indeed will not have the resources to be able to walk through on your own. And so the choice will be for us, will we let that bring us to a dark place? Will we let that bring us to despair and lack hope? Will we let that lead us to a road of depression? Or in the midst of that hard stuff, will we find ourselves holding more closely to Jesus? And so as we come forward this morning to this table, can we put our hearts before Christ? Accept our spiritual poverty and let Jesus know how much we need Him. And then as we receive today, let us receive not with thanksgiving for an instant answer or a snap quick solution. But may we receive Jesus as a reminder that his presence is with us and that he is doing a work deeper than we could ever imagine if we walk alongside him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. As we take this time in prayer, I'm going to leave us some moments of silence to be with the Lord. And again, I invite you to reflect on where is the area? Maybe there's more than one where you know you are powerless, where you know you don't have the resource. Whereas you come forward this morning, you will come ready to welcome Jesus into that place in your life. Let us be before the Lord.